This is an edit of The Dice Men Cometh, thanks to polymorphgames.com.au. Originally broadcast on Edge Radio 99.3 FM.
The Dice Men Cometh!
Thanks to polymorphgames.com.au, our proud sponsor and provider of polyhedral dice games.
Yes.
Polyurethane miniatures.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
And possibly also polyunsaturated margarine, I don't know. This is the Dice Men Cometh, episode 161, on the 13th of April, 2017. It's Easter Thursday. Is that a thing? Is that what you call it?
It means it's not a school night. That's a thing.
It's the Thursday before Good Friday, so hey, we might be a little loose.
It's good.
Just a tad.
And tonight, we've got a Boom Boom Escape the Room special as we talk escape rooms.
Yeah.
They're a thing. Just like Easter Thursday.
And bedrooms.
And all over the world, people are paying good money to be locked in rooms so they can solve puzzles. And here to talk about it tonight is myself, Trent, and this gentleman across from me.
That would be Garth.
And then this one.
This would be Leon. And we're not just talking about the rooms themselves, obviously, because we love talking about our tabletop games. We're actually talking about the escape rooms in a box as well, to which there are 7 million at the moment because everyone's getting on that fad. It's the new legacy system.
Exactly. But needless to say, and I did think of this quote some time ago.
Oh, hang on. Sorry. Sorry. Let's pay attention.
This is a quote, gentlemen. I read this in some of the graphic novel that is the Time magazine top 100 of all time. Is that right?
That's it, isn't it?
So basically, because this is an escape room special, think of you as locked in here. Okay? You're locked in for the hour. But, and I'm going to quote it here, we're not stuck in here with you. You're all stuck in here with us.
Wow.
Yeah, that's really? Rorschach.
That's as gruff as what he does in the film as well. Yeah.
I think there's a smiley emoticon at the end.
There may be.
Yeah.
This is the Dice Men Cometh on Edge Radio 99.3 FM. And of course, anyone who loves this show would know. You're expecting me to play something off the new Mastodon? Well, here it is. Eh?
Yeah, that was melodic.
Hey. Thanks to Edge Radio, on Edge Radio, even, 99.3 FM, and thanks to our good friends at polymorphgames.com.au. This is The Dice Men Cometh, and a song there from the new Mastodon album called Scorpion Breath.
Of course it is. Why wouldn't it be?
Never smelt scorpion breath.
I reckon they haven't either.
Tequila, I'm thinking.
Reckon I can go through the rest of my life without experiencing that.
Yes.
So, we're talking escape rooms.
Are we ever?
Tonight.
Yes.
And it's a special escape room episode. And, I mean, this is what we've been playing lately.
Pretty much, yes.
Because we did escape rooms as a part of your birthday celebrations.
We certainly
this
did.
Past weekend, you turned the grand age of
30. So I am no longer, there's no more of those young'un jokes or old'un jokes. We're all just equals now, so it's just boring.
How's being 30 working out for you?
Funnily enough, exactly the same as being 29. I woke up the last 2 days feeling relatively under the weather and played PlayStation for like 10 hours.
Yeah, but you did that in your birthday slippers, I bet.
No,
because your wife did get you birthday slippers.
We returned them and bought special popcorn when I went to see Lego Batman.
So why are we talking about escape rooms on a show that's about board gaming? Well, it's because we think that anyone who's a gamer would basically love this activity.
Yes.
Because it's a board game come to life in a sense.
That is exactly what it is.
And should we start this conversation and this show by talking about just what an escape room is? Because although these things are proliferating right across Australia and across the Western Hemisphere, maybe most of our audience hasn't actually done one.
That's true, and they are still a relatively new thing.
Yeah.
You know, in relation to Monopoly, maybe?
Yeah, they're slightly... Yeah, this idea of it being a game is a slightly new thing. People have been gotten locked in rooms for years, sadly. But actually making a game of it and paying money for it is kind of a newer thing.
And hello to Mrs. and Mrs. Fritzall if they're listening.
I was wondering how long that was going to take.
Anyway,
yes.
should we get this back on track? And look, you know, I'll just start by giving you a textbook Wikipedia definition of what an escape room is, because then you can faff around and talk about what you actually believe it to be,
yes.
Trent. and Leon. So Wikipedia describes, an escape room is a physical adventure game in which players solve a series of puzzles using clues, hints, and strategy to complete the objective at hand. Players are given a set time limit, which is true, to unveil the secrets. Yes?
Mm.
Can I keep going?
Mm.
Which is hidden within the rooms. Because it could be a room, could be multiple rooms. It basically, as a concept, is only around about a decade old. And according to said Wikipedia, it started in Asia.
So when I say escape rooms to norms...
Yes, I've done that a couple of times in the last few days.
And they mostly seem to go to the Jodie Foster film Panic Room.
Oh, okay.
In their head.
Fair enough.
Which is not quite it.
No.
You get locked in a room, you're asked to solve puzzles in order to get out. And you actually pay for this experience.
I've basically been describing it to people as very similar to the first Saw film, except it's slightly less yelling involved.
But, well, I don't know about that.
But the first Saw film is actually not a bad kind of explanation, because it is pretty much that, where one thing leads to another and there's a puzzle and there's a mystery and then there's not always a dead guy, but sometimes there's a dead guy.
So look, let's just dive straight in, because we've had one of these open up in Hobart. We played it on the last weekend. We loved it so much we went back and did another session in one of the, well, we've done both of the rooms that are available.
Correct. Yes.
This is the Evolo room escape, and I want to give a shout out to Lauren and Nick because these are the guys who have built this escape room in Hobart. They're nuts about this stuff, because we got talking to them afterwards, which was great. The location, I should explain, and look, anyone who's lived in the Hobart CBD, you got the Woolworths in Argyle Street. Just off the car park there, there's a creepy old house.
Should be a haunted mansion.
Never really been quite sure what goes on in there. There's been a couple of sort of vague business signs outside here and there, but it's always been this creepy house that you've never really understood what goes on in there. Well, now it's an escape room.
Yes.
And it fits perfectly in there.
It does.
It is exactly what an escape room should look like.
They said they had to do a renovation or a dozen to get the place up to code, but the actual atmosphere that place sets is absolutely spot on.
And they've been running since October last year with two rooms. They've got plans for a third.
Yes.
And we did one for your birthday, and we just loved it so much, we went back again the very next
day. Yeah, we basically found out they had time open the next day, and we went, what's everyone doing tomorrow? Nothing? Well.
And we've promised to talk about their escape rooms without doing spoilers.
Yeah, we should mention this entire show, when we talk about this, and then we talk about our escape room in a box a bit later, all of it is going to be spoiler-free. It's going to be really difficult for us because there's so much really cool things happening, we just can't say most of it.
Yeah, so we're going to tell you exactly what it's like without telling you anything about what it's
like.
Yes,
the things we will tell you are the open knowledge things that you could find on like Facebook pages and stuff like that, but actually specifics we're not going to tell
you. Because it's all about the codes that you break.
Yes.
Well, yeah. Not just codes. There's all kinds of things that you
break. And the theme and the story and all sorts of things taking place.
And these are the first escape rooms that we've done.
Yes.
Leon, you hadn't done
one? Garth had done one in Melbourne.
I've done one in Melbourne before. But this was obviously the first time that we as a Dice Man collective,
yes,
and Dice Wife Sarah, were able to go and have a crack as a tomb, and just see what we all were really like under a bit of pressure.
It all begins with a very pleasant sitting room.
Yeah.
When you step into this creepy old house, and you're briefed and you get to sign these legal waivers where you consent to being a pretend locked in a room.
Yes.
Because, you know, I mean, if you have a heart attack, you can get out.
Something fire code can't lock people into a house.
You might get an extra 5 minutes.
You've also got to sign off to being watched on camera.
Mm.
Yes. Which I think you guys were completely, like, you jumped at that experience, didn't you?
Yeah, it was nothing out of the ordinary. Normally, I don't have to sign a waiver for it. I just assume it's happening. But, yeah.
It's the modern condition, isn't
it? Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. But the really exciting thing about these escape rooms, well, in my limited experience and any of them, is the theme that they set. And for someone who enjoys a good RPG, and particularly Call of Cthulhu,
yep,
all right, which we've talked about many, many times on the show, This is just taking all of that to the next level, isn't it?
Is it ever? I mean, obviously, as
this is where I think gamers are going to get into it.
Yeah, totally. I mean, as our resident dungeon master, game master, call it what you were, you love being able to have props and all this theme that drips every time we do an RPG and you give us a newspaper or whatever. But the escape room takes it to the next level. You know, so talking about the first room that we did at Avolo, which was... the scenario is called Break in the Murder Trial, which is readily available on their website.
Yes, we're not
going
to
spoil anything. But essentially, you and your team, and I'll read this directly from their website, you and your fellow criminals are on the trial for murder and things aren't looking good. Your lawyer is drunk, your family members have testified against you, and you're looking at a life sentence. And basically, you go from there. I'm not going to do the rest of the story, even though it's on the website, but basically, that's the scenario you find yourself as you go straight into that room.
They've done up the room like a courthouse.
Yes.
I don't think that's giving in too much away.
No.
Some of the elements you might find in there, well, there's a computer.
Yep.
for one.
And other courthouse things.
Related paraphernalia.
There's handcuffs.
Yeah.
There's chains.
Yes.
Because you've got to chain up your... vicious murderers,
yeah.
Of course.
Well, I suggested to my wife that we go into some sort of room with those things for my birthday, and this is what she came up with. Unfortunately, you two were bloody there.
Too much information. Now, that's just one of their two rooms. The other room that we did was set up like a child's bedroom.
Yes.
But with very, very spooky music.
Mm-hmm.
Very spooky music. I have to say, that seemed to amp up as the hour went on.
Good.
Because you get an hour or so in there.
Yeah.
There are toys that you could play with, some of which needed batteries.
Yes.
Which you have to find. That's all I'm going to say about that. We did this with my family who really enjoyed themselves, including my 10-year-old daughter, Pearl.
Yeah.
She had a lot of fun playing with the Matchbox cars, which helped us out.
There you go.
And that's all I'm going to say.
But look, I really want to, again, tip my hat to what Nick and Lauren have put together, because you walk straight in there and you immediately look around and you go, yep, I get that this is a courthouse, or this is a whatever you want to call it in the style of lots of toys and what have you around there.
Some may say a playroom.
Playroom. Well, you could do that. But you then also are basically left in there and you... Well, the last thing you see is someone point a little clicker to a timer and it goes from 60 minutes and starts ticking down.
Yep.
Go.
And that's pretty much where you find yourself after that. And yeah, they were absolutely great fun. And those two, they're clearly passionate about what they do. And they've put in so much effort into these two rooms. We're actually going to hopefully get them on the show sometime in the coming weeks, because they're going to open a third room soon.
Oh, cool.
That we know nothing about. Maybe they might chuck us a little bit of information. But until then, the two that we have there at the moment... absolutely brilliant.
Look, let's get down to brass tacks with what it is this actually means once you're locked in there. Now, in our case with Evolo, both of these involved more than one space.
Yep.
They involved locked boxes, sometimes within locked boxes, and they're unlocked using combinations based on information that you'll find scattered around the room. Now, this might be... numeric information, alphabetical, it might be keys that you find. There was that weird movement lock thing. Did anyone know what that was called? It's a lock with it's got this
a directional lock, perhaps?
You flick it left, right, and it's not like a safe combination thing where you... Yeah, I'd never seen one before. look, for example, you might get a combination that's made up of significant dates or... from a code cipher that you find, or from a list of addresses or something like that. Yep. And you've got to make the logical leaps from the clues that you give it in the room and apply them to the code, to the physical lock.
Yeah, and that's obviously where the challenge is taking the information, which is admittedly generally readily available or readily findable,
well,
and translating that into the right next step.
It's all in there for you. You don't have to do any study ahead of it or anything, or be necessarily relying on general knowledge beyond a bit of common sense, or making a few lateral leaps of logic. Look, sometimes it's obvious. Sometimes it's pattern recognition.
Yes,
all right,
that's true.
With the clues that are given you. Sometimes it's lateral thinking. It's often, I found, it's sort of making leaps in your perception by shifting your perspective. Does that make sense?
Yes.
You've got to, because you're looking at a physical problem that might have a code in it, and you've got to kind of take a step back and think, how does this look from a different angle?
Yeah, maybe? Well, it's certainly very much a forest for the trees situation from time to time, where you've got to draw out the information that is important, but you've got to have the information already to know what information you're trying to draw out, because which of those codes are important anyway.
I hope this is making some kind of sense. But look, you're locked in a room and the combination for you to get out relies on you solving a puzzle like, if David is 37 years old and arrives 2 hours before Mabel, who's 48, and she's eating more apples than Susan, which is on a train that's travelling at 68 miles an hour.
But it is not that convoluted and boring. But it is something very similar to that.
The answer was 12, though.
Oh, 12, yeah. Cool. Yeah. I knew that anyway.
And sometimes it's just recognising a shape.
Yep.
Or maybe just doing some counting.
Yep.
But you've got to be precise.
That's right. And look, a lot of the time, and from my admittedly very limited escape room experience, now only having done a couple of them, what I liked about Evolo is that it wasn't just a one-track solution. Because a lot of the times with other sort of scenarios like this, there is only really one way to get from your very starting point to your very end, which is escaping the room.
Yes.
I really enjoyed the fact that there were numerous ways that you could be doing things so that everyone was involved.
Although it might have simply appeared like that, and that's something I want to talk about a little bit later in the show. But can I talk about my favourite moment in the entire weekend in both escape rooms?
Possibly. And we don't know yet.
And that is where Leon...
That's me.
Said, well, he basically chewed up 10 minutes of time on the first day because he read one of the clues and said, it's number 3 to number 6.
Yeah.
As opposed to it's number 3
and number 6.
Number 6.
Yeah.
And that absolutely slaughtered us. And that's why we didn't make it out of the first room
without
more clues. Leon, thank you very much.
Yes, not to worry.
But I suppose it was your birthday.
It was, but there was also a team effort. I it was very much you two in a corner and my wife in another corner, all of us taking far too long in those puzzles at the end. Mm-hmm. But that's the fun of it. If we'd gone to different puzzles, each of us, we could have solved them in a heartbeat.
Yep.
But because of the way our brains worked on that certain day, it was... Yeah, we were made fools of. But luckily,
were made fools of?
Yeah, well, as a group effort, we were made fools of, yeah.
And you.
And you.
No, my other favourite moment was when we stepped into that second room in the courthouse and just started picking up the furniture.
Yes, we were specifically told that nothing you will do is going to be physically jarring. Everybody, like a group of 80-year-old people could walk into this room, a group of 10-year-olds, and you can all solve puzzles the same way.
But Leon and I completely insane.
No, we just oafed our way and went, let's pick this everything up and move it about. Because that's just the way your brain kind of were. Until we were politely told over the walkie-talkie we had, you can do that another way without having to pick that up. And we both went,
Did we mention that you have a walkie-talkie?
We did not.
Right, so you're on camera the entire time, and if you want clues, you can always ask on the
Yes, because
the
they do not record sound. And that's crucial. They view you purely for your own safety and also so that they can see whether you're not progressing and to offer clues should you need it.
But what surprised me the most about the whole thing, and I suppose this is the whole reason that we're actually talking about it on the show and devoting the whole show to it, was the sense of excitement and satisfaction that came out of the whole thing. Because every time we solved a clue and unlocked another lock, it was high fives all around and cheers.
Yep. Big old, way!
And that's... You know, like, I mean, I'm not over exaggerating. Those are precious moments that you have that you have with your friends.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, because there's not a lot of circumstances in life where you really get those.
Yeah, you cannot beat the sensation of solving a problem. And the whole point of this is you're basically paying to get that satisfaction of solving those problems.
Well, you're either paying to be very smart or to be very stupid. Sure.
Yeah, and
it's nice to be smart at least temporarily.
And it's nice to know that you can have hints if you wish, but then the pride kicks in and goes, "No, of course we don't. We'd rather fail in a bloody death," which is what we did.
We're gamers.
But we died with our pride, which we probably shouldn't have.
But you know, hypothetically, were we to have asked for clues?
Yep.
Lauren and Nick would have given them in fairly oblique ways that would have allowed us to make the leap
ourselves, yes.
So anyway, look, purely by virtue of the fact that we're here actually broadcasting, you can tell that we did make it out of these rooms.
Yes, we did indeed.
Although we're now locked in another one at the moment.
Yes, for some reason.
A great time, and we can't wait to do more of these. And look, wherever you are around Australia and around the world, because there are these things popping up all over the place. We urge you to get out and support these local businesses.
Completely.
And get yourself locked in an escape room. Yeah, it's so much fun.
We know we have a lot of listeners in both Melbourne and Sydney, and like, we have this one room down here, which is run by awesome people, and they do an awesome job. In Melbourne and Sydney, there's heaps of these.
Yep.
Varying degrees of how good they are, I couldn't tell you, but get on there and have a look. And it's one of those things that for the family or groups of friends celebrating something, or you just want an activity to do on the weekend, it pretty much ticks every single box. So there's no reason to not at least check it out once. I mean, anyone that's listening to us is some form of gamer, likes a bit of competition, likes a puzzle. There's no reason not to have a crack at it.
And maybe if you want to just dip your toe in, you can try one of these little escape rooms in a box.
Yes.
Which we have done.
Yes.
So more of what we've been playing on our escape room special coming up on the Dice Men Cometh. I did say it was Easter Thursday.
Yes,
you did.
You did say it was going to be loose.
That's a thing. It's all with thanks to our proud sponsors at polymorphgames.com.au on Edge Radio 99.3 FM. Edits from Little Fox, Edge Radio 99.3 FM. Trent, Garth and Leon tonight, the Dice Men Cometh, with thanks to our friends at polymorphgames.com.au. You want 5% off? Type in podcast.
All capital letters. And remember, they ship worldwide. That's worldwide.
Do they sell Cool Whip?
I hope so.
Okay. It's our escape room special tonight, and for those of you who can't be bothered leaving the house, you can bring these escape rooms to your home, courtesy of a whole series of boxes and board games that you can buy that bring the self-same experience into your home in a nice, safe, non-social way.
And naturally, I bought all of them.
Because they're non-social. They require, in this case, they say 3 to 5 players, which we'll talk about.
True enough.
So, look, the first one we're going to talk about is, I think, probably the best named out of all of them, because this one is called Escape Room, The Game.
Well, that pretty much sums it up, really.
It just makes sense.
If you're looking at a wall of games and you go, I'm after an escape room that is also a game, and you see one that's called Escape Room, The Game, you'll go, well, hopefully that'll satisfy my criteria.
And can I say from the outset that my impression of this going into it was that this was very much the sort of escape room game that you might find in Big W.
Yes. Yeah, I agree.
Alongside Monopoly.
It does come across as that kind of mainstream game, but does it live up to mainstream sellability? We'll get to that as well, won't we? So, look, yeah. Part of what, you know, the research for this show was doing a couple of these, and this time last week, in fact, after last week's show, we all sat down in Trent's man cave. We locked ourselves in there just for some thematic tension, opened the box for Escape Room, The Game, and the three of us then proceeded to do one of four scenarios that come with this game, because this game, oh my God, comes also with a chrono decoder.
I know. And isn't it the nicest chrono decoder you've seen this week?
It's definitely the top three.
Yep.
Now, in this box, you will get the aforementioned chrono decoder, which is the only piece of hardware that you need to be able to do these games.
And it looks like something you get out of a show bag.
It doesn't look too much. But, oh, it does the trick, though.
But it does, because this is your timer, because it has a beautiful little countdown time clock mechanism on it.
Mm-hmm.
It has four slots for which you can put some combination of four keys in there to hopefully solve some clues. And then it also has, all through the chrono decoder, a series of markings, possibly clues, maybe codes.
Yeah, it looks like a cross between a movie prop and a poker machine. And look, it's not the worst piece of board game bling I've ever seen.
No, because it actually works.
Yes.
And that's a very useful thing. So, look, they describe this game is basically the escape room experience in a box, all about doing it as a group. It does say for 3 to 5 players, plays in about an hour, which seems to be the universal escape room time length benchmark.
Mm-hmm. Give or take, yeah.
Exactly. And look, we'll talk primarily about the first scenario, which is the one we played called Prison Break. Now, in this one, you are being sentenced to 10 years in prison for a crime you didn't commit.
Was Prison Break the name of the show?
Yes.
Because the logo is very much like the show. How they're not paying royalties, I don't know. But
yeah, they can do what they want.
Yeah, exactly.
They've got a Corona decoder.
So anyway, 10 years of your life wasted for being in the wrong place at the wrong time. It hardly seemed fair.
Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in.
You know, the guards will reach your cell during the rounds in an hour. Every burn in your body tells you that this is an opportunity of a lifetime. You're 60 minutes away from freedom. And then you open envelope one. Because all of these scenarios, and of which there are four in the base game, are basically three-parters. You'll have part one, which leads to part two, which leads to part three, and every one of them comes in a potentially resealable envelope if you were not to go and damage some components within there so that the game could re-closed up, replayed, and passed along to your loved ones or people who you didn't like quite enough to play that game with you at the time. But, look, what I really enjoyed about it is, you know, you open up packet one and immediately you've got that excitement because, again, you've got the countdown ticking clock that's just going from 60 down to zero. It has some form of thematic music in there. However, Leon, there is an app.
There is.
That has apparently some form of other thematic music in there. And essentially, you just get to it. You put your heads down on the table. You start looking at clues. You try and follow the signs. You use the bits of paraphernalia that you've got. And the great thing is, again, everyone can be doing something as long as you probably don't have five people because I think that would be too many.
Yeah, no. Three or four is kind of pretty much spot on. Yeah.
You need a note taker.
Yes, you need a note taker.
Give or take, yeah.
And look, you know, talking about envelope one, scenario one, which, look, this is considered one of the two easier scenarios in there. Again, you get enough bits and pieces in the first envelope so that everyone, two, three, maybe even four people, could be doing something that is worthwhile. But very quickly, it'll come down to the one track scenario where you can only progress by doing this one particular thing in the correct order. Mm. Because ultimately, the way you're going to progress is by getting four keys, which are really cool because there are, is it 16 keys overall, Leon? There's
16
four
keys.
Of each type.
Yeah. And they're all very similar, but they're all different in the sense that some of them have different numbers than the others, have different symbols than the others, different arrows, the whole bunch of different things.
Yeah, so on each key, you've got different shaped keys, you've got different shaped holes in different shaped keys, you've got Roman numerals, you've got normal numbers, you've got letters, you've got sort of little triangles or cut-out shapes in some of them.
Yep. Each one's relevant in different scenarios.
Exactly right. And essentially, the only way you're going to be able to progress from envelope one to envelope two to envelope three is by putting in four keys in the right combination into the chrono decoder,
yeah,
pressing the button and hearing that glorious ba-pow.
Yeah.
Or the more exciting...
But what happens when you get the bell, Garth?
You lose a minute of
you
your life.
You do lose a minute. A minute goes away from the chrono decoder. It has that feature on it.
Yes.
It can get rid of a minute. It's that smart.
Yeah, which I don't think we even realised. Did we actually realise that as we were playing it? I certainly didn't.
I don't know if we put in any failed combinations. as he pats the dust off his shoulder.
One
no,
or two.
We did.
But yeah, look, we did chew through this fairly quickly.
Look, I think we finished with about 15 minutes to spare.
Which is pretty good. I mean, a lot of, you've got to remember, this is 2 stars out of a 5-star difficulty rating they use for this game.
It was the introductory level.
Yeah.
Yep. But, you know, again, there were three of us, and all three of us were hunched over this table at one time or another. We had Trent taking notes, we had Leon doing something, and then we had me probably solving it all.
I'm glad to bring this up because I want to say and this doesn't happen often on the show, but props to Leon.
Yes,
because these escape rooms have allowed me to actually have a glimpse of the type of intelligence that he has.
I've always been told it's there.
It hasn't always been apparent.
No.
But
that's
Leon's
true.
Made a series of logical leaps in the solving of these puzzles and in the escape room on the weekend that wasn't apparent to me and made me feel dumb. So I'm just happy to sit there and take notes.
Yep.
And Leon makes the leaps and says, he's right. Okay.
I've always been quite good at finding an answer, but just don't ever ask me to do the working out. That's why I failed at maths at school, because I'd sit there and look at the board full of all these equations and go, the answer's 15. And they go, well, yes, it is, but you need to show how we got there. I'm like, no, I don't need to care. It's the answer's 15.
So maybe what that means is that you shouldn't feel intimidated by these things.
No. Yeah. Well, I think, again, these are a great opportunity for the not so old kids, but not too young because they won't really be able to help. But probably, you know, our children's age, Trent, you know, maybe Finn and Pearl's age and up, sort of 10, 11, 12, I reckon, because they've, you know...
With parental help.
With parental help, of course, but there are certainly puzzles there and combinations and code hunting that, you know, any sort of middle-aged kid and above would be able to do.
Yep.
Because the Kono Decroder, Kono thingamy-bob...
Very loose show, very loose show.
It very also clearly states that we're only going to use each puzzle possibly once.
Yeah.
So once you've used the Chrono Decoder for that one possible combination, you don't have to go back to that for the whole scenario, and you know, again, which is great. So look, for 45 minutes, and for the fact that I didn't buy it and someone else did, it was a lot of fun.
I think this cost me about $40.
Yep.
And $40 for four scenarios, they're going to take you, give or take 45 minutes, at least an hour. I mean, you try and take your family to the movies for an hour and a half and tell me you're going to spend $40 on it.
No.
And I'll tell you, where did you sneak in your whole family in a bag?
Yes. Well, fun per dollar is really high on this one.
Exactly.
And that's what I like about it. The fact that you only have to play it once, well, that's how the nature of the game, but it is a fun way.
Yeah. All right. We got one more of these escape rooms in a box, what we've been playing lately, and we're going to talk about that next, coming up on the Diceman Cometh Edge Radio 99.3 FM. Edge Radio 99.3 FM, the Dice Men Cometh, Trent, Garth and Leon tonight, and it's all with thanks to polymorphgames.com.au. But they're not just looking after us as sponsors, they're helping us look after everybody.
Exactly, by offering very, very low prices on their website. So anyway, that was Stolen by Airling, and wasn't it melodic and soft and gentle and a bit of,
Probably not, because I'm going to edit it out of the podcast. Most people have no idea. Anyway, so let's move on with the old escape room special. I played another one of these games, which didn't have four cases in it. It was just the one case in a box.
One case in a box?
One case in the box. However,
there's a lot of these, though.
Yes, there are. This one was called Escape the Room, funnily enough. Another very catchy title. But Escape the Stargazer's Manor, which is by Think Fun Games. It says between 3 to 8 players. I wouldn't go more than 6, probably 4. We played it with 4. Pretty good sweet spot.
Cool.
Ages 10 and up, similar to the other one.
Yep.
Between 90 and 2 hours, which is about right, I think. So,
well, it depends if you solve it or not, surely.
Well, yeah, true. So the mystery itself. It's 1869, and the town's well-respected astronomer has not been seen since the untimely passing of his wife. Recently, strange things have been happening at his manor. Loud and unfamiliar noises and unpleasant smells and smoke billowing from the observatory. It's up to you and your guests to solve the mystery at the Stargazer's Manor.
Ooh.
Intrigued? Intrigued?
Sure.
No? I can't be quiet. Anyway, so your objective. So you are to spend an evening working with your guests to solve puzzles, unlock hidden clues, and unravel the mystery of the Stargazer's Manor. Will you and your guests be able to solve the mystery and save the astronomer before time's out, and possibly save yourself and the entire town as well?
Well, I goddamn hope so.
What's that got to do with anything? That's crazy. So you open this box up, and what you get inside this box is 5 sealed envelopes, which is kind of the staple of these escape room in a box things, sealed envelopes. You get the instructions. They're handy, because you need to know how to play a thing.
Yeah. Does it involve open envelope 1 and go?
You get a story card, which essentially has everything that I just said on it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get this game's version of the crazy high-tech Chrono Decoder, the cardboard solution wheel.
Woo! Cardboard, you say?
Yes, it's terribly high-tech, but stay with me. So the solution wheel has 4 different coloured dials, each with has about a dozen different symbols on them. Each puzzle that you solve will give you the different symbols that you need to put into this. And by putting in the correct symbols on the correct way of the wheels, you spin them in the right direction. There's these little dots, circles in the middle of the decoder, that if the 2 symbols are showing that are of the puzzle that you're trying to solve, then you have correct.
This sounds exactly
like
something.
Is that the first trick? Like the first, you've got to sort of decode what the actual solution decode wheel is?
The first thing that comes up, you open the first envelope and there is like a key that has like red, this symbol, yellow, this symbol. So you do that and it makes, and then you see the same symbol that's on the key in the middle and you go, oh, okay. That's how it works.
Just like something you used to get out of a cereal packet.
Kind of, yes, but it's a tad more high tech because it's got...
Not really.
No, not at all. But
no,
I just like
no
to say...
No chrono decoder.
No. So you use this to solve all the puzzles, and it is quite good, although you do have to stop yourself because you could just do the old trial and error of going, we've got most of this right, let's just kind of turn it till we get the next one. But that would be not in the spirit of the game.
True.
So, yeah, so you play through this game. The five different envelopes have five different puzzles on them. And, again, one thing will kind of lead to another. You open the envelope. There could be stuff in it that could lead to... There could be another envelope in there with another thing and whatever else. And it's, yeah, it's very similar to the other one, but it's very, very good from what I remember.
All right, that was your review.
I had a few drinks that night, but I can't remember that well.
Oh, man.
But yes, no, it is pretty much exactly, funnily enough, what it says on the box.
Okay.
Which is an escape room in the box. But their website that accompanies it at thinkfun.com/escape room, I think is really interesting because it gives you a picture step-by-step guide on how you can put this all back together, which is what we did. We put everything back together exactly the same way as that it was. We didn't have to rip anything or destroy anything. We put it all together correctly, and then I gave it to Trent, who has since not used it.
No.
Because that's just how grateful he is. But it's good that you can give this game that only costs about 20-odd bucks to somebody else. You can pass it around, so it's... The same people can't do it again, but other people can, you know, do the same. As well as on the website, there is a themed invitation that you can print out and send to your friends.
Print out, you say?
I know, or even email, perhaps. Which is the story that I just told you, and you put the name on it and then the date you want to do this. And there's even an extra optional bit on the email that you can send that you can say... Dress in this appropriate clothing or whatever else and make a proper big night of it.
It's sounding an awful lot like one of those How to Host a Murder nights.
It's kind of that, because that's what escape rooms kind of are, really. They're a smaller version of that kind of How to Host a Mystery, murder mystery type thing, which are also great fun. And then the final thing it has is a music section, which gives you suggestions of music that would accompany this scenario and, you know, the appropriate time and stuff. And then it actually has links that have Pandora and Spotify links to that exact music that they recommend. Excellent. Which I think is absolutely brilliant.
That's cool. Does Mastodon feature in that?
No. Although I'm pretty sure we probably played some of that anyway. So yeah, there's that. So this is, yeah, like I said, Escape the Room, The Stargazer's Manor by Think Fun. They've done one other one after this, which is called Dr. Gravely's Retreat, which is similar but supposed to be a bit more complicated. So, unlike the other one where you get the four scenarios for like 40-odd bucks, this one's about mid-20s and you only get the one, but it's still worth a crack anyway.
Now, having been the only person to have done both of these games, which do you prefer?
I can't go past the other one.
The Chrono Decoder.
Only for the fact that it's 4-in-1.
Yeah.
It's 4-in-1 for 40 bucks. You can't really go past that. You can play it with different friends. I'm going to play the next one. The next scenario, which is called Virus, tomorrow night with another set of friends. And that first set we packed up so they could even themselves borrow it for the weekend and play that first one themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So you just can't beat that. Although when I did look into that game and went, this is great, I found that there was two expansions for it. Went, that's cool. And then I looked at the price and went, hang on.
Yeah.
The price is like 30 bucks for an expansion of one scenario when the base one has four for 40.
Yeah. And a Chrono Decoder.
And the Chrono Decoder. So they are literally envelopes for $30. So they kind of taken the piss there. But yes, Escape Room, The Stargazer's Manor is another one to get your hands on.
Now, we might like to think that all of these escape rooms are a relatively new idea and that we're covering new territory with this, but of course, I don't think this is entirely the case because I would argue that this is sort of the modern equivalent of ye olde hedge maze.
Yeah, pretty much.
You know? Although, you don't have to be a member of the aristocracy to do one.
Well, I mean, you could. You'd have the proper dress-up garb to do it. You wouldn't have to actually hire it from a store. But, you know, in our research for this escape rooms, I've looked at various other things in media.
Ooh.
You know, that kind of stuff. Not that is similar to that, that people might want to look at. So for iOS games, Garth, you're a big fan of talking about them.
I am,
you
yes.
You love a game on
I
the
do.
Toilet.
Yes.
There's a few different ones. There's one that's called Doors, which has, like, four O's in the middle.
It better have a Z at the end as
no,
well.
No, it doesn't. It's just RS. But that one I downloaded for free. There's another one called The Heist, one called Agent A, both very similar to kind of like old school puzzle games where you're in a room exactly like what this and you've got to try and find your way out. But the king of iOS escape rooms is called The Room.
Yes.
It's been out for years. There's three of them and they are the perfect example of this and they're actually really, really good games. The first one especially is just... like a cabinet in the middle of a room and it's got like a little puzzle on it. You solve that puzzle, which then leads to open a bit of the cabinet and then there's another bit of the puzzle and so on and so forth and so on and so forth.
And this is what seems to have brought it into the modern consciousness, I think.
Yeah, it is stuff like this that's kind of... Stuff because of that has led to escape rooms kind of becoming a thing.
Yeah, because I have read about escape rooms in places like Hong Kong, you know, in skyscrapers and what have you, that a bunch of students will set up beforehand, but it was the room that really put it over the top in the English-speaking world.
Yeah. Exactly.
And then also things like movies as well. We talked a bit on the show before about the movie Clue from the 80s, which is based off Cluedo. That's kind of a similar thing, except a few more rooms with a murder mystery type thing. Another film from years ago called Mindhunters, which is worth a look at. One that's on Netflix at the moment called The Circle, which I'm a big fan of. It's a bit more like a game of werewolf than an escape room, but also it's set in a whole one room. But the one I really wanted to talk about is a movie called Exam, which I watched the other day from about 10 years ago. Is a group of people all come into a room, they sit down at the desk, they all know they're there for a very high-paying job. And the guy at the front says, you've got an hour, there's one question in front of you, and there's one answer. You know, and there's a security guard in the room as well. You're not allowed to talk to the security guard. You're not allowed to talk to me. And then that guy leaves, locks the door, leaves those people in that room with the security guard. They all have a bit of paper in front of them that says, like, participant A, participant B, participant C. They all flip over that paper, and there's nothing on it.
Dun, dun, dun.
And then there's just a timer in front of them that says, I think it's 90 minutes.
I've been in exams like that.
It says 90 minutes, and then just go. And then the people have got to figure out what they're supposed to do. And it ends in absolute mayhem, as the human race tends to in these type of things.
Definitely. Well, I think one thing we haven't talked about, and I'll keep this short and sweet, is what about time stories?
I was going to mention time stories as well, as also with Sherlock Holmes Consulting Detective.
Yeah.
They are similar type of ideas to this. It's just they weren't really given the mantle of escape room in a box, but that's kind of what they are.
Yeah, they're all single-use games. Obviously, with Sherlock Holmes, you have 10 scenarios, and now you've got the Jack the Ripper new expansion that came out. With Time Stories, you basically have, what, half a dozen games now, starting with the Master
Case? Yeah, close to it, yeah.
There are more and coming out every other month. So, look, it gives you a massive opportunity if this style of one-off experiential game, where you will go through and you will start a game, obviously hoping to try and find the answer, either as an escape room in a predetermined amount of time, or in something like Sherlock Holmes, with getting the number of clues as few as possible to try and feel as smart as Sherlock Holmes, which you won't, or Time Stories, which basically you keep going, make a mistake, rewind and go back to the start, and doing a loop after loop after loop of the scenario until you finally get the combination right in the right amount of time that you are spending.
Yeah,
they're all really good fun. Most of the time.
It also feeds into the whole legacy thing.
It does.
Right, which is essentially you can play it once.
Yes.
And that as you play it, you are changing the game by tearing up cards, putting stickers on things. Which reminds me, I do want to have a bitch to you about Gloomhaven, but we might leave that till next week.
Yeah, we're going to wait for that.
We're going, yeah.
But also, since this has become a much more of a big thing, these escape rooms and the escape room in a box, some bigger companies have got their hands on it now. So there's a new one coming out called Unlock, which is from Space Cowboys, which
has
got three scenarios in a box that are about an hour or so long.
Yep.
I've ordered that. That's on its way.
Good. Keep doing
that. That should be
Space Cowboys know what they're doing, so that's fantastic.
And there's another one, which is a series of three games, which are called Exit the Game, and that's from Cosmos, which is kind of weird when I first heard them. I thought, the people that do mainly two-player little Euro-type things, like, apparently they're getting on it as well. So they're only one scenario in each box that are apparently a bit harder and take between normally 90 minutes or 2 hours, but these ones, the Cosmos ones, you cannot pack back up and give to friends. Yeah. Things are going to be ripped. Things are going to be burnt, perhaps. And, yeah, so they've pushed this whole one-off play thing even further. So it's a thing that I think the industry is getting on. Whether it's a fad or not, we'll soon find out.
And I suppose it's fine so long as you can maybe download a replacement and print it out and mock it up at home.
It's only like $20 anyway. Yeah. And okay. Like I said, you know, $20 four people for 2 hours, there's nothing wrong with that.
But if you're going to burn a piece of paper as a part of the scenario and you can just print it out again,
true.
Why not?
Yeah, well, there's also Detective.
Yes.
By Ignacio Trevicek, which is not going to be coming out for a while, but that is the detective escape room style game, but you're using real life information on real life internets and what have you to try and solve mysteries of whatever they may be.
Yeah.
It's fascinating to me, just to get meta for just a moment, that modern life seems to be so boring that we are prepared to pay people to pretend lock us in a room in order to feel something real. Because I get back to that sense of satisfaction that you get from actually solving the puzzle.
Yeah.
Okay. And it was my family locked in a room with you and Dice wife Sarah.
Yes.
All right. We don't know each other that well, but we bonded over the experience of solving that puzzle.
Yeah. That's because you choose to do it nude, though.
And there's moving on and ignoring that. That cheapens the entire show that we've just done. Really? Why do you feel the need to just drag us down like that?
Because I'm new. Because
it was a moose. You're just a negative person, aren't you? And you know what? I don't even want to go on. If you're just going to be like that and just spoil everything.
Oh, fine. It is Easter Thursday.
And it is rather a loose show. And just one more thing before Trent gets back to his point. That our original thing about escape rooms, if people want to know what they're like and see them in action, Geek and Sundry, the YouTube channel that does tabletop, you may have heard of it, they do an escape room show themselves that's called Escape, with a lady by the name of Janet Varney, and there's no spoilers because they make the rooms themselves for a one-off show that takes half an hour, and there's 5 episodes of that up now. Mm-hmm. I highly recommend that because it's a lot of fun to watch, and it gives you a perfect example of what an escape room is.
Excellent. That sounds good.
We're going to get back to talking about cardboard and plastic next week.
Perhaps.
We promise. And if you like the sound of any of these escape rooms in a box, you might like to order them from our sponsor, polymorphgames.com.au.
Sounds like a brilliant idea.
And you can also get 5% off. And what do you have to do?
You have to type in the discount code PODCAST in all capital letters.
Because we've made the discount code easy this time.
Yes. Not like that other one that you guys came up with. Oh, man.
We will not speak of that.
It's Edge Radio, 99.3 FM. The Dice Men cometh, signing off. We'll catch you next week. Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Booyah.
This has been an edit of The Dice Men Cometh, thanks to polymorphgames.com.au. You can say hello to The Dice Men on Facebook, Instagram, and www.dicemencometh.com. You can support us by leaving a review on iTunes or by becoming a Patreon supporter for as little as just $1 per month. Thank you.